Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports tech venture capital company. And on this show, I get the amazing opportunity to interview top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times changing the overall sports industry. Today, my guest is Bryce Hallwig. Bryce oversees the everything at the Florida Panthers. He oversees the organization's arena operations, food and beverage services, live entertainment, the technology side, and the Panthers practice and recreational facility. He also oversees the War Memorial Auditorium revitalization in Fort Lauderdale. And I look forward to talking about all those things with Bryce on this show. So Bryce, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thanks for having me, Wayne. This is exciting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you. I mean, and this is such an amazing time to have this conversation as your Florida Panthers are the best team in the NHL today. That must be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the product on the ice and what Bill Zito and his team has done is truly amazing. You know, I got here almost exactly 3 years ago, you know, previously working for the Vancouver Canucks and the Aquilini family and, which was a great opportunity for me, but, you know, coming here, with the role that I'm in, and being able to ride the wave of a great hockey team and the success that they've had has been pretty fun.
Well, I guess from a, you know, COO perspective and really overseeing all the operations and business side of the business, it's pretty good when your team's winning, right?
It definitely helps. You know, the beer tastes a little colder, the hot dogs taste a little better. You know, people's smiles on their face, you know, coming in, leaving. It's definitely in terms of creating an experience, definitely helps when the team's better, but you know, we look to create that experience, whether they win or lose.
Well, you mentioned on that side, really the fans, right, who obviously are very happy and maybe they will have an extra beer or a hot dog or something like that. But from a business perspective, I'm sure also from whether it's partnerships or other types of sponsorships that you're able to do, you know, probably you have, I'm assuming more people are interested in having conversations with you and your team.
Yeah. I mean, I do everything on the operations side, but I am not the sales guy. But with that said, of course, we're all involved and we wear several hats and we're having our executive huddles on the daily basis. And what our teams on the ticketing and sales side and the partnership side, you know, is really telling an amazing story. Number one of the brand that we've grown here and, you know, the interest in hockey, you know, partners wanting to be involved. We got a brand new naming rights partner, Amerant Bank, local, regional bank here. You know, the ball is just rolling and people want to be a part of it.
So, you know, as you said, down here in Florida, in the Fort Lauderdale area, a hockey team. I mean, at first that was like crazy. And then you guys proved it. And then, you know, you have teams in Phoenix and teams in Vegas now in these really warm areas. And it's just proving that, you know, not only can you have just the sport there, but you can have really good teams in these warm areas as well.
Yeah. And, you know, really, you know, Bill Zito and our CEO, President Matt Caldwell, you know, really coined the term destination franchise. So what does that mean? That means playing in an area, you know, geographically that is, you know, advantageous and, you know, sunny all year round. But, you know, with a team and organization that invests in the players, invests in the team, invests in the organization, you know, to really put a good product on the ice and the ultimate experience for fans. So, you know, the word destination franchise is really, you know, the golden standard and what we're really trying to reach.
And your role as COO at the Florida Panthers, I mean, you're the guy making that destination, right? I mean, you're making the physical pieces of all this and overseeing all those things. I mean, what has that been like over the last 3 years and really the whole, you know, just seeing the development that you guys have done in the South Florida area has been incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that really starts with our ownership. You know, the Viola family is so community focused and it's really, you know, when they bought the team 10 years ago, they knew it wasn't going to be easy and they have really taken the approach of one fan at a time, you know, investing in youth programs and youth hockey and getting kids on the ice and involved, whether that's in schools, you know, teaching floorball. You know, our community team is out and about 365. You know, and that, you know, it's really translated into to what we're seeing now. Of course, again, having a good team and a good product on the ice certainly helps. But it's been years of that development in the community that has really gotten people to buy in, and, you know, create that fandom that we're now capitalizing on.
So, you know, I wonder, you know, from an operations perspective and an F&B side of the business, I mean, how do you decide, we'll talk F&B first, right? Like, so how do you decide what you're going to serve basically at the arenas?
Yeah, I'll preface this with, before I get into hospitality, which is a passion of mine. We are very unique in the sports industry that we do everything in house. You know, a lot of teams and a lot of organizations, they'll third party, you know, their F&B or their parking or you name it. We do from housekeeping to security to F&B to live entertainment. We do every single function in house, and that allows us to really have ultimate control and be nimble and agile. So, you know, talking about F&B, you know, sometimes if you have a third party operator doing a promo, changing menu items becomes a little bit more difficult with a little more red tape. We are able, you know, owning that function to make changes overnight, whether that's with overall quality, menu item size. I mean, you name it. You know, our programming, especially on the F&B side, is very nimble, very agile, and it makes it really fun.
So what are some of your favorite? What are some of your favorite items on the menu?
Oh man, I tell you what, we got this Chef Alvin. It's the carver. It's a turkey stand. And, you know, we have we got a great mix of items on the menu, and we're continuously looking at improving product and quality and such for the fans. But this guy, people wait in line for this guy's turkey sandwiches. He hand makes the cranberry sauce, and he truly thinks that people come to the game for him. And you know what? We'll let him believe that, because you know what? He's creating that experience and people line up for him every game. But you know, we got things for kids, you know, we got, you know, anything that you can imagine from normal concession fare. And then, you know, we put on a really good premium product too in our suites and our lounges as well.
So I got to go back to the turkey for a second. So he slices down the turkey, makes it. Now, is this cranberry sauce sweet or is it a little tart? You know,
it's a little bit of both, man. I mean, he carves that turkey. It probably, you know, maybe at times too many slices. So someone's going to be getting a big sandwich here and there, but he has so much fun doing it. And the people literally line up for him and it's a massive sandwich. So, you know, when you're around here, that's the first thing you got to try.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Cause being from around here and it's kind of the home in the Delaware Valley area, the home of Capriati's, which is, you know, it's one of their famous things, their turkey hoagie, that it's like a Thanksgiving turkey, and Wawa does something similar as well during certain times of the year. So I gotta check this out. Are there other types of items or drinks or things that are, you know, Florida Panther specials that you put out there?
You know, we lean in a bit. We have a huge, you know, Latin American population here. So we do, you know, have empanadas on the menu and, you know, the Cuban sandwiches. We really try to have something for everyone, create that variety, you know, and, you know, so someone comes here for dinner rather than go and eat before and you know, they can enjoy it at the game.
So it's also part of your overall responsibilities as COO of the Florida Panthers. You know, you talk about, you know, there's obviously the game itself, but you know, in the arena, what other types of entertainment do you look to bring to the fans? I mean, what's that overall fan experience that goes on inside of the arena during games?
Yeah, you know, I think that fan experience, you know, really starts at the ticket buying process. But other than that, it starts when they're coming in the gates for parking. So, you know, we have the luxury of having a sizable lot here with multiple entrance points. So we're able to get cars in very, very quickly. Over the last couple of years, we've actually revised our plan to make that even easier. you know, implemented prepay and things like that. And then, you know, as they are walking up to the beautiful palm trees and the sun shining in the background, you know, they're greeted right away with, we call it the, it's new this year. It's the Publix Plaza. So there's a tailgate going out right in our big tarmac, and a live band playing outside. You know, they're able to enter the arena once doors open very easily, ingress. We create multiple entry points, so that's never a bottleneck. And then once they're in the arena, then there's live music going on as well, either with a live band or DJs. They walking around, they're getting their foods and drinks, and, you know, the different areas that we've you know, developed and created. You know, one that stands out to me is the Jameson Crossbar. So we took a very underutilized area that was generating $0 in revenue. We're talking a couple thousand square feet. And we partnered with Jameson to make it a really, really cool bar slash pub. And, you know, it's really become a shining light of kind of the things that we're doing around here to improve the experience. So, of course, there's the in game that, you know, our game presentation team do a great job of keeping the fans involved and engaged. And, you know, we upgraded our sound system as well just after the All-Star game last season. So, you know, all these things play into the element of fan experience and why people like to come.
That's amazing. And so let's flip over to the player side a little bit, you know, from an experience for the players at the arena and also, you know, the Panthers Ice Den. And what's that like, you know, and having to keep that, you know, basically, you know, at the highest level for your players so that you can, I mean, you have the best team in the NHL right now. Hopefully you guys win a cup. And but like, what are some of the things that you do to make their experience as a player even better?
Yeah, and really that goes back to the Destination franchise. So I think I'll key in on the War Memorial, which is and the Baptist Health Iceplex, which is the brand new facility. We're actually doing a ribbon cutting next week on March 20th, but it's open to the players. The players are in there with hockey operations. And when you're talking about a state-of-the-art facility that these guys want to be at and want to spend time at and want to train at, I mean, they have a state-of-the-art gym and sauna and steam room and medical rooms and everything that you can imagine to make their lives as easy and as comfortable as possible so that they can perform at peak levels. You know, their nutritionists, and again, I'm not involved on the hockey ops side, but what Bill and his team do with, you know, the medical staff and nutrition and, you know, the team chef and certainly the analytics team that he's built is pretty incredible. It's all about you know, finding those little pieces, little inches that's gonna create an advantage for our players.
Well, certainly, you know. I want to get into a little bit of your background, but I can't help to notice the, you know, sitting behind you, right, literally right behind you on the wall is your Army jersey from when you were the captain of the team playing at West Point. And I want to get into that, but at the same time, you know, when you look at the facilities today that these, you know, top NHL players have, what do you think about being, you know, someone who was an elite player at the collegiate level? You know, what would it meant for you to have these types of facilities?
You know, I think about that. You know, what, you know, what if I had, you know, the facilities that they do, and you know, the other things that, you know, who knows? You know, I never would have made it to NHL. I'm realistic, you know, certainly, you know, all the things that have gone and changed into the way that these guys train and what they focus on versus, you know, when I was playing, you know, years ago, you know, it's all about, maybe not so much as, quantity, you know, how many squats can you do, which was all about then. It's how you do. And it's all about the quality of the treatment that they're getting. And a lot of times it's not even in the weight room. It's the other things that they're doing. So would I have loved to have it? Sure. Would I have made the NHL? No.
Well, you never know. You never know, Bryce. I mean, like, it's one of those things where we could all dream. But, you know, I'd love to, take our listeners and viewers back to, you know, and share your story and where you grew up and how you made it to the West Point and were able to play on their hockey team.
Yeah. I get a weird journey, man. So is, and yeah, that's my West Point diploma. So super proud of that. I hang that with a lot of pride. So born in Los Angeles, my mom was born in Vancouver, met my dad down in LA, and they decided to put my brother and I in the most unreasonable Southern California sport at the time, which was ice hockey. So, my brother, who's 2 years older, he went in first, very active kid. So my mom's like, I gotta burn some energy here. So, she found the local rink in Norwalk, which had chain link fence and slanted ice and a cinder block wall. And that's where we grew up playing. Looking back of how many kids and kids that played at elite levels came out of that little dinky rink is pretty impressive. But it came to the point where, we as a family decided that, there was no scouts going down to LA at that point, even though Gretzky was down there and growing the game. So we made the family decision to move up to Vancouver, and continue with some prep school programming. And my brother had went first and played junior hockey. So, that was kind of our journey up to Canada. I played, several years in the BCHL, probably too many years, but it was one of the best years of my life. If you know anything about junior hockey and junior hockey players, but my goal was number one, to play Division I hockey and then to get the best education I could. So being recruited by, several different schools and, kind of had a plan of where I wanted to go. And then I get a letter in the mail from Army Hockey. And I had no idea what West Point was. I don't have a military background. Maybe I should have known, but I didn't. And I threw it in the trash. Cause I had no clue what it was. And my mom found it in the trash can and she said, you might want to look at this one. So, that was it. I flew down there, fell in love, with, obviously what West Point means in terms of a leadership institution, and the team, and the Riley family. I was recruited by Rob Riley and ended up playing for Brian, both of which I talked to till this day. That was my journey to West Point. Never thought I'd be there. And you know what? I would do it over and over again. It was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
And so, as everyone knows, I mean, if you go to West Point, you're going to serve the country. Right. I mean, and so for the next, I understand, for the next 10 years, you were in the U.S. Army.
That's right. So at a West Point, you owe 5 years. That's the commitment, that every graduate owes. I thought I would do five and then move on to who knows what. But I had the extreme benefit and luxury of working for some very, very amazing people and leaders in some very cool locations of the world. And, 5 years turned into 10. Very quickly. So, I went from my first assignment in Belgium, where I was able to continue playing, which was awesome. Then to Germany as a general's aide, which was an amazing experience. Then to Schweinfurt, Germany, where I was again out of retirement and played in the German Oberliga, which was pretty cool. Then a year in Afghanistan, a couple years in South Korea, and then ended my last couple years teaching at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach. So, it took me around the world, saw a lot of places, met a lot of people that I otherwise wouldn't have. And again, I wouldn't trade those 10 years for anything.
This is the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. And I'm sure in many of those different stints that you had, as well as, working for generals and, being on the hockey team at West Point, having great coaches, you've learned a few things about leadership that I'm sure are helping you right now as the COO of the Panthers. What are some of those different traits or lessons that you've learned over the years that are helping you today?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I get it all the time. And really everything that I know and have learned and have developed about leadership is how much you care for people. And show genuine care. So you could be the smartest person in the room. That's always helpful. Most leaders are smart. But if you don't care for people and gain that trust, it's going to be a tough road for you. And not saying you can't do it. There's other ways to lead people. But when people know that you care for them, they're going to put an extra effort in. You know, when they trust you, when they know that they can, that you're going to lead them to the right place, you know, they'll give that extra effort. And, you know, whether that was through hockey or my time in the military, or, you know, what I've been able to parlay into, you know, my, I guess my civilian career here, it's all true about how much you care for people. It really makes a difference.
So, you know, you talk about people. I mean, maybe share a little bit about your team today at the Panthers that, you know, that are your direct reports that work with you across all the different projects that you're working on. I mean, there's so many things that you oversee. You know, what is it like to have to lead these people and be able to, you know, get them, you know, fired up and every single day to be able to go out and literally do it again every single night?
Yeah. And you know, you've spoke with enough people in this industry that it's definitely a grind, and your evenings and weekends lots of times don't exist. And it becomes a little easier when you figure out that your Mondays are sometimes your Saturdays and your Wednesdays are your Fridays. But you know, it's all about making people understand their little piece of the puzzle. So how does, you know, line cook in concession, you know, section 104, how is he or she influencing it? Well, they're creating a fan experience. They're doing something to create that fan experience and to either add or take away from it. So it's really making sure that people understand how their role influences and impacts the team as a whole. A lot of it too is, and you know, in the military and hockey was it, the words leading by example, it was pretty easy. You know, you work a little harder. You know, you're doing whatever, you're putting in extra time. I sometimes wondered how that would translate into a civilian outside world job. And for here, it's just realizing that leadership presence matters. That when you have people that are working on the weekends and evenings, they appreciate seeing you. You know, I cannot be doing anything. A lot of times I'm not. But when they see you there with them, you know, taking time out of your day and your weekend and your evening to make sure that everything's going straight, everything's going smooth, and that you care, you know, that matters.
I mean, you also have, you know, it's been very interesting, I'm sure, to, you know, have the opportunity to work for such an amazing owner like Vinny Viola, right? I mean, like someone like that and the family that, you know, expect, you know, greatness. They want, you know, they want everything to, you know, at the highest of levels. And that must be amazing to be able to work in an organization where it's expected to be great.
Yep. You nailed it there. I mean, it really starts with the family and Vinny and Teresa. Again, their expectations of what excellence is and going the extra mile. And Vinny uses the word physicalize. So if you're given a mission, you know, we lean into the military a little bit. You know, Matt, Vinny's a West Pointer, and Matt, our CEO, is a West Pointer. And
there's a few people in the military at the Panthers, yeah, right?
You know, I like to think I got the job on my own merit, but it didn't hurt that I was a West Pointer. But it's really about, you know, you're given a mission, go execute it and physicalize on it and don't hem and haw and talk about it. Just make things happen. And if you fail, then fail fast and fix it. And Vinny has, you know, and the family have given us so much trust and empowered us to really do our jobs and really make a difference here. Amazing ownership group.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, all the change, all this innovation that's now coming to the world of sports, how does that fit into your role as COO? What are some of the things that you're looking at that are new and different, or, you know, trying to push the limits in your part of the organization?
Yeah, I look at some of the examples that we've done. You know, you're always trying, you know, on the food and beverage piece, you're always trying to eliminate lines. You know, how do you get people to not stand in a line? And, you know, things that we've used with our app and mobile ordering and self-serve kiosks. And we just implemented, you know, in partnership with Verizon and iFi, two autonomous stores. So, you know, these are becoming very common in arenas and stadiums where, you know, you scan your app or your credit card and a gate opens and you walk in. and cameras are following you around and figuring out what you're picking out. And then you just walk, you know, out and it charges you. You know, I think that's a very innovative, solution to help reduce lines and add to the experience. You know, there's solutions out there to battle ingress and biometrics to get people, in the arena faster. And also for security measures as well. So how do you identify people that maybe shouldn't be there? You know, I think that the world, you know, is the age that we're in with AI, is going to become extremely more important, you know, whether that's with business analytics, and sales. And then you start looking at, you know, AR and VR technologies of how do people use their phone, which they're always connected to. And that's another piece, is making sure that our technology, our basic infrastructure is good in the arena, so people can do things in the arena while they're there and add to their experience, you know, putting your phone up to the player and getting some cool stats right off the bat. You know, we see these things when we're watching on TV, but when you're in there live, you know, some people may want to see it. Sports betting real time is going to have an impact on all of it. So, you know, how do we implement these technologies? You know, again, I think that they're all surrounding, you know, fan experience and giving people something that they may not even know that they wanted.
Yeah, well, we certainly agree on all my partners and I here at 76 Capital. I mean, when it comes to all those things that you just mentioned, you know, whether a lot of the new types of companies that we have investments in that we believe are the ways to really enhance your overall experience, and completely agree with what you're saying on about all of this. When you kind of look back at your career so far, I mean, you've had a really interesting and exciting career, as you said, you know, from the military to, you know, prior to this with Aquilini, with the, you know, then also the, you know, doing things with the Canucks. I mean, there's just been so many interesting things that you've done. What are some of the things that you kind of look back on and say, hey, that was really fun, or as an amazing success that I had?
Gosh, you know what? The military, that's its own piece, obviously near and dear to my heart. Again, you've been able to see things around the world, that, you know, most people don't get to do. So I'll keep it to, you know, post-military and, you know, the Aquilini family, who really, I was nobody. I was trying to get a job in Vancouver, cause that's where my parents lived. And I knew I was getting out of the army, moving back there. And, you know, the Aquilini family gave me, an opportunity, and got my foot in the door first, you know, overseeing technology for their portfolio of businesses, from the arena and team and hotels and restaurants, and really, was a really good introduction to the real world for me. If I had to pick, I guess, one of the, it was really formative and really cut my teeth in running a business. It had to have been running the Pizza Huts in so the Aquilinis own all the Pizza Huts in British Columbia. And at that time, when I took that role over, we acquired 12 Dairy Queens. So that, you know, the business grew to 55 Pizza Huts and 12 Dairy Queens. And then COVID happened, which was a hard time, for everyone, you know, and the hospitality industry particularly got hit very hard, and people looking for, you know, really takeout food, and you know, no surprise, the pizza industry skyrocketed. So, you know, while people were forced in their homes, you know, me and my team, my small little team, were traveling around the province, making sure that everything was safe. That was primary. It was making sure our workers and our staffs and the food that was being put out was safe. That was first and foremost. But I mean, we were opening stores during COVID, you know, revenues obviously skyrocketed. It was a very interesting, very fun, very rewarding time, that, you know, and just odd, you know, I never thought I'd be running that, a pizza business. So, you know, if I look back on my career thus far, you know, that couple of years with, you know, PH restaurants, you know, probably takes the cake.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we start to wind down our show here on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. And Bryce, it's been amazing having you on the show. I mean, you have such an interesting perspective on the world of hospitality, the F&B side of it, the, you know, being part of the, you know, within the sports world, your military career. It's really fascinating. I mean, and so when you talk with, young people who, or just anybody who says, wow, like the sports world, the hospitality world, I gotta get into this. Like, what kind of advice would you give them to try to break in and to someday, you know, be in a seat like yours at a major, you know, professional sports team?
Yeah, it's a question that you know, that we get a lot of. You know, a lot of people think it's you know, sexy and cool, the sports industry, and it is. I love it. It's not for everyone. I preface those conversations with that as well, you know, given the, you know, the time investment that it takes. You know, my advice to, you know, someone graduating college is get that internship right away. You know, I talk about my experience. I am the exception to the rule where I was able to come in my first job in the industry in a senior role. That's not the norm. Most people start out selling tickets, you know, account executives and selling sponsorship and very much so take that first rule, get your foot in the door, prove yourself, create a reputation of yourself being hardworking, being a team player and willing to go the extra mile, and you'll get noticed for sure. You know, if you have a background in marketing, you know, you don't necessarily have to start in marketing, but make sure after your foot's in the door that you let it know that, hey, if there's a job in marketing, you know, let me get after that. Continuing education is huge. Making sure that if you have time, you know, and the capacity to get certifications, if you have a technical skill, or even going to grad school at night to get an MBA, all these things matter. And to me, it may not be about the education, but it shows that you're willing to better yourself. I think that's the story it tells me.
I completely agree. And again, just really appreciate you taking the time. I mean, and I hope the next time we talk or see each other, maybe you'll be holding that Stanley Cup. That would be amazing. So I wish you and the whole Panthers organization a lot of luck. And thank you again for joining us on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thanks for having me, Wayne. Take care.
Take care.